Welcome to Unapologetic Live. I'm your host, Amala Epinobi. There is Taylor.
Taylor, not Epinobi. The K is not silent.
It is not silent. Guys, welcome to the show today. We have lots and lots to talk about. If you're reading the title here, we do have some unfortunate news. And we might be highlighting somebody that you might not even know existed. And his name is Kevin Samuels. He has unfortunately passed away. This has been confirmed by family members close to him. But we're going to get into that and talk about his legacy, what he did, what he left behind, some of the interesting takes we're getting from people who happen to be progressive in regard to his death. Sonny Hostin talking about how being black and Republican at the same time is an oxymoron. 36 different famous people who use pronouns other than she, her, he, him, as if we even have to state that in the first place, and why you should not start stating your pronouns when introducing yourself. Plus, we're going to talk about the assault on motherhood and react to an article out of MSNBC that says that the political right weaponizes mothers here in America. I can't wait to read more about that. It is Friday, so I hope you guys have had a fantastic week, and I hope your weekend goes well. Let's talk about Mr. Kevin Samuels. So I was a fan of Kevin Samuels, woke up this morning, went to Twitter, and heard that he had passed. For those of you who are unaware of who he is, he's somewhat of an online personality and commentator who specifically is known for giving dating advice to the black community. He's very prevalent within the black community. So lots of women will call him and men and go through their situation, what they're dealing with, what the culture is like in their community. The quote, baby mamas and the players will call him and talk about their life situations, their marriage situations. And Kevin gives very blunt, direct advice to people. And of course, people don't like to be offended. People don't like to be called out. And that is what Kevin Samuels is very famous for. So we'll talk about what he's done. We'll go through some of his videos and you can react and get a taste of who he is. But mainly, he represents a somewhat conservative, socially conservative view of lifestyle, dating, and in black culture. This idea that as a woman, you should be going out to seek a, quote, high-value man. And if you're on TikTok or social media, you've probably heard a lot of modern-day feminists coming out and talking about all these male podcasters who talk about high-value men, which is essentially something used to describe a man who works hard, is very diligent about getting money, and has a particular status or value because of who he is and what he does, and wants to date a high-value woman. So we see a lot of radical feminists on the internet get really mad talking about, oh, a high-value man, there's no such thing as a high-value man, and how dare you talk so poorly about women, saying that there's high-value women and low-value women, and you just use this as a platform to push misogyny and hatred and patriarchy onto women. In Kevin Samuels' case, he specifically gets criticized for attacking black women. So first I want to show a nice video of Kevin Samuels talking about his life, talking about how he views the way that he lived during his time. And then we'll get into some of the more controversial stuff. Language warning for the Kevin Samuels stuff, because he is very blunt, he is very crass, he is very forward for those of you watching. Here's video one.
I'm very much driven on, I want to leave behind something, a legacy. And if somebody can say, you know what, I'm better off for listening to that video or knowing this or knowing that, I think that's a life well lived. When I was 21 years old, I was diagnosed with stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma. And while everybody else was about to graduate from college and go off and to live life, I'm looking at my own mortality. So I've always, you know, even though this has one of the highest cure rates, I've always known that we're all on borrowed time. Mm. We're all on borrowed time. So I'm like, you know, yeah, through hook or crook, I want to be the best at what I do to try to get the most out of this life that we have, because it's not promised to us. Mm. So it's not to do it to make you rich or whatever. It's really because I want to have a life that was being worth lived.
There you go. I think that's a good way to intro it. Taylor, I showed you Kevin Samuels a while back, at least some of his videos and his reaction stuff. What was your initial thoughts on this man?
He says some bold things, some mm-hmm. hot takes, but you know, a lot of it is just that old school common sense that people don't like to hear these days, but yes, kind of need to. So, I mean, I'm sure he oversteps his bounds here and there. I haven't listened to enough of him to really know, but It seems like he just kind of says the stuff that you're not supposed to say. And that's probably why a lot of people resonate with what he says.
Right. And I think there is a time for tough love in life. And Kevin Samuels happens to be one of the arbiters, or happened to be one of the arbiters of tough love in this case. And I see a lot of people going through, and we're going to react to some of his videos so that you can get a feel for what his personality was like. For those of you who are not familiar with him, like I said, he's pretty well known within the Black community for what he does and how he talks. So we're going to react to some of those videos. I'll give you some of the responses that people have to his death. And obviously, they're not very kind responses, many people cheering it on. And talk about this idea of relegating people to bad moments or takes that you find offensive or things that you don't like about them, and whether or not that permits you to cheer on the death or the loss of that person. And obviously, within the guise of free speech, you can do whatever you want. You can say these things. But I do want to just criticize the culture that we're living in now, that we don't view humans as humans anymore. We have really boiled people down to not even an essence of who they are, just things that we disliked about them. And that suddenly writes them off for all of eternity. We saw this happen with Breitbart when he died. Rush Limbaugh when he died, people taking to the internet and just going crazy, saying all of these horrible things and then cheering on what is obviously not a great moment for those who are close to that person and those who admire them. So here's a video of Kevin Samuels on the Fresh Fit After Hours podcast talking to these three feminist women. And this what they're talking about in particular is that a lot of women complain about objectification and this whole idea of a sexual marketplace, but those very same modern day feminists who complain about my body's being objectified are totally fine with objectification so long as it benefits them, either monetarily, status-wise, with compliments. They're totally okay with it then, but when they have the chance to virtue signal and talk about their feminist ideology and identity, then they come forth and start complaining. So here's that clip.
You just said you work very hard, so you should get the outcomes. See, if hard work was all that required, then we would almost be guaranteed. Hard work gets you a ticket to the dance. It doesn't guarantee you the top spot. How many, who lost the Super Bowl, guys?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Can you say they worked hard this year?
Very hard.
Number two. Men don't worry about fairness. We worry about winning. And to the victor go the spoils. Just like, you know what? How many times you've gotten to a club into VIP for free when some ugly chicks had to pay full price?
Is that my fault?
No. I've asked how many times it happened before you go down that path.
I mean, plenty of times in Miami.
Exactly. But that's not fair, is it?
Well, please don't forget I'm not from here.
But so. That's not the point, ma'am. That's not fair, is it?
I also don't care about those things.
But so you only care about fairness when it doesn't benefit you.
I just don't go to clubs that often.
But that's not the point. I asked you, how many times you've gone to a club where you got in free where ugly chicks or less attractive chicks had to pay? And you know that's happened. You didn't say, excuse me, sir. Even though I'm attractive, I demand that you charge me full price. That's fair, right?
Okay, so because I
fair?
Into places and get
that
to-
fair.
I look at that look. She's like, please, can somebody else hop on the mic and like try to defend the point that I'm trying to make right now? Can somebody please? Let's continue.
That means that I should
get that fair. Before we go that, I'll answer your question if you at least answer mine. Is that fair?
Life isn't fair.
Well, if that's the case, you accept it in the sexual marketplace too.
It doesn't mean I have to accept other people's bullshit.
No. Well, see, the thing is, ma'am, see what you've proven, like many feminists and many women, you're okay with the double standards that benefit you. But the ones you don't like, you just throw at the wind, use sign language, shame, insults, guilt, and the need to be right to deflect and dismiss guys who are normally intimidated by this thing. I'm not. I'm just challenging your position. You're okay with it not being fair when it benefits you.
And a See, somebody got caught, and that is Kevin Samuels to the T. That's exactly what he does, what he did every day when he was working and talking to people and having these conversations. And it's tough love. It's not an easy thing on the ears to hear, but is it not true? Is he not calling out somebody for their inconsistency? And I know a lot of y'all are going to throw flack against the Fresh and Fit podcast in the comments down below. I'm not surprised by that at all. Some of the clips that I watch out of Fresh and Fit are atrocious, and it does speak to that idea that these guys come on and they're like, well, I can play the field and do whatever I want, and my woman gets to stay home, and you know, just the stupid alpha male but like not good type of alpha male stuff. But I want to talk about specifically Kevin Samuels, not the medium that he's using to put his message through. His what he just said there, point to me where it's false. If you guys have any criticism of what was just said there, point to me where it's false. And it speaks to a larger cultural problem, specifically with young people today, that they have an issue with fairness when it doesn't go their way. We saw that right now with the Roe v. Wade draft being let out into the world in a completely unethical and undermining way. They're totally fine with that. They're totally fine with that form of vigilantism. But when you have other people who disagree with you out protesting or another form of vigilantism on the opposite side, oh no, that's not fair. And it's this is not protected. And you don't deserve the right to speak. And you don't deserve this and this and this and this and this and that because you disagree with me. But it's totally fine so long as it benefits me. It's totally fine if I get into the bar as an attractive female, but God forbid a man tells me I'm attractive because that's objectification.
Yeah, and I think the thing that he landed on was you're okay with things not being fair as long as it benefits you. And yes. Isn't that a summary of just like how a significant portion of our culture thinks, especially mm-hmm. with regard to politics these days? But it's like he's just tapping into that old school wisdom of just like standards are standards and right is right, wrong is wrong, good is good, bad is bad. And the same standard should apply to everyone. And you can't have your cake and eat it too, so to speak. You can't just abide by dating rules or hold men to a certain standard when you're not willing to follow the same thing yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And when somebody is willing to get up, because a lot of men these days, sorry to the men out there, I'm sure a lot of you watching are not like this, but a lot of them are just willing to be like, oh yes, I too am a feminist. I bought a t-shirt that says the future is female. Will you date me now? That's how a lot of men are these days. And Kevin Samuels stepped outside of that and he said, you know what? No. I'm seeing a lot of inconsistency here. I'm seeing a lot of things that doesn't go along with biology, the natural order, what women actually want. And he exposed that a lot of the elites and the people who control these different spheres of influence in our country are hell-bent on convincing you of that same propagandized, lie-based narrative that as a woman, you are meant to lead this lifestyle and imitate men. And that is not the case. And we've said this before on the program. I've said, you know, we now live in a culture and a society where women are supposed to function as subpar men and men are supposed to function as subpar men. And that's all that we are now because of the different movements and the different social changes that we're trying to make that completely go against what is biologically natural to our temperaments and our traits. Here's another video of Kevin Samuels talking about Cosmopolitan and exposing what they've done. And this is something that I was unaware of and that I just became aware of today in listening to this. Here we go.
I talked about how Cosmopolitan magazine, they wanted to be the playboy of women. They openly admit that we lied to a generation of women just to sell you products.
We created this fantasy world, the Cosmo girl, at least in the beginning, before a lot of women began to buy into it, the Cosmo girl was just a sexual fantasy. She was a marketer's dream, however. She would work hard, she was on the pill, and she would get an abortion. They weren't going to have to fire her for being pregnant because she was never going to get pregnant. She didn't press for working women's rights. She didn't press for family rights. She didn't press for child care. She just worked hard and for the corporation. Basically, she was a man.
If you can convince a woman that everything is about her, then she has to buy a whole bunch of stuff to make herself so wonderful.
Why was Cosmo so successful? Because it attracted advertisers. Why did it attract advertisers? Because it worked.
I talked about.
Dude, are you kidding me? Isn't that crazy? If you are watching right now and you don't think that's insane, I don't know what to tell you. It's just everything that you theorize about and they call you a tinfoil, a hat, conspirator for saying, being played out right in front of your eyes from the horse's mouth, saying, this is what we strategically did in our marketing and in what we published and what we pushed out to you to completely morph the culture. And a lot of you might not know how influential Cosmopolitan magazine and all of their media was. Very, very influential for women, completely setting a new standard for what it meant to be a woman in America. And it's not even what it means to be a woman in America. It's what it means to be a subpar man in a woman's body in America. Because why have love? Men are toxic, girl. Pursue your career. Don't be subservient to a husband. Not that I view marriage as even being subservient. Don't be subservient to your children. Work for that corporation because at least you're getting money in return. And with that money, you can go and buy these Cosmopolitan products that we put in our magazine for you. And go out and be sexually promiscuous. Do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about it because there's always a solution. Abortion's a contraceptive. There's always something that you can do to make your life more selfish, more self-centered. And it will always just revolve around you so long as you don't allow any traditional values, any values that are based on your actual nature of being a woman, to infiltrate your life. Strategically selling this new woman to America, and we all bought it, we all took it, we all said this is feminism, this is empowerment. And I actually did a recent hit on Fox News to talk about exactly this idea that feminism, as far as I'm concerned, has achieved what it set out to achieve, and it achieved it a long time ago. There's no right that men have that I don't have, there's no privilege that men have that I don't have in this country. But the feminist narrative still continues. We're still wearing these "the future is female" t-shirts and saying, you know, men and women are equal. We're still running with the pay gap lie. We are still continuing to convince ourselves that we need this cultural entity of feminism. For what? For what? Because now it's gone from men and women are equal and we both value each other. We're different, but we value what each other brings to the table. We function as a yin and yang. Now it's, I don't need men. Men are toxic, and they're born toxic, and there's nothing that's ever going to fix the patriarchy that they're born into unless we completely reform our society. And, you know, we should be sexually promiscuous, and that's empowering. That's taking over your body. Why go after anything? Why go after anything valuable? Why pursue passions? How about you sign up for OnlyFans? And while we're at it, let's make TikToks about how we make $30,000 a month. I saw a girl who was about 23 years old, talk about how she's making $30,000 a month selling her body on OnlyFans. That's empowering. Rejection of beauty standards and things like health and wellness, because now that's fat phobia. This is empowerment for women. This is feminism. This is the new wave. In fact, women don't even exist anymore, because biological men can identify as women, and then they take on the same patriarchy and oppression that I guess we dealt with our whole lives. Is that how it works? If there are any feminists watching right now, please let me know if that's how it works, because it feels like that's where we're headed. So we're just living in this blob of blurred lines and nothingness, but selling it to people as if it's going to make them happy. And it doesn't seem to be the case. Look at young women in America right now. The highest rates of depression, anxiety, mental health issues, suicide rates going up. But you're happy and you're empowered and you're liberated, aren't you? We're doing so well. And we didn't sell you on a lie to turn you into a consumer who's just subservient and enslaved by the workforce with no family and no happiness and no prospects and no fulfillment. Because AT&T, Pizza Hut, Sprint will be there when you lie on your deathbed, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it's going to be.
Yeah, it's amazing that the modern feminist movement has been able to cook up this narrative and this lie, essentially, to women that overrides their biology, that it overrides evolution, that overrides what they're basically created and to prefer, and can sell them on this idea that ultimately makes them miserable. And that's what's sad about it being a lie. You know, I'm sympathetic to like the old school feminism 1.0 that was more about like, you know, okay, it deprives women of the freedom to choose what the life that they want, and say, and you literally don't have a choice. You literally don't have freedom. And that's inconsistent with the values that we believe in the first place. But then they went so far beyond that now and just cooked up this, they sprungboard off of the legitimate grievance and took it, you know, no limiting principle all the way to, no, you should just be the man, be sexually promiscuous, not want to have children at all, not want to have a family at all, and all these things that now, and like a modern day woman is shamed for just wanting to be a housewife. And it's so backwards, because you've gone so far that now you're depriving women of the freedom to choose the opposite direction. Right. So now you're oppressing women through this new narrative that says you can't choose to have children and be a family and find fulfillment in that.
Yeah, and a society where it's going to become impossible with like the rates we're at now for you to have a parent that stays home. You're going to have to enter the workforce because of what some of these women have done.
Yeah.
And you say that and, oh my gosh, you are a bigot, patriarchy. You don't think that women can enter the workforce? Obviously, women can enter the workforce. And women, I say that you can do whatever you want to do. And if you are like, no, my career is more important. I just want to focus on me. I don't want to have kids. I want to be a bodybuilder, masculine, career-focused woman. By all means, go ahead and do that. But do not then turn around to me and tell me that that's a traditionally feminine trait. It's not. You are essentially taking on masculine traits. I know nobody wants to hear that, but you are. It's a deviation, and it's totally fine, and it's something that should fit under the umbrella of real feminism, women being able to choose for their future and not being pushed into something that they don't want to be involved in, but that's exactly what feminism has become now, women being pushed into something that they really don't want to be involved in, and being convinced that they do, and then the massive trade-off that they don't know they're signing away is their happiness down the line. And the fact that you can't talk about that without having your death celebrated on the internet is just absolutely ridiculous to me. And that's what's been happening to Kevin Samuels. Of course, the crass nature of the way he speaks is probably a big driver in this. People can't handle offensive language anymore. And he's very famous for getting calls from Black women in particular who say, "Oh, hey, Kevin, I'm calling because I want a high-value man." And he's like, "Okay, how many kids do you have?" "Four." "How many dads are you know, attached to those kids?" "Four different men." "Do you see these men?" "No." "Okay, how old are you?" "45. "Okay, how much money do you make?" $40,000 a year." "Okay, how big are you?" 240 pounds. And he goes, "And you want a what?" "Oh, I want a 35-year-old man who makes six figures and who wants to adopt all the four children that I have with the four different men and take on the different baby daddies and have to converse with them and have them all in his life." And you're a bigot and you're a misogynist for looking at that woman and going, "Honey, no, that's not happening." And if that does happen to you, that is a crazy-ass man. You're the misogynist for saying that now. It speaks to where we're at. So now Kevin Samuels gets accused of attacking Black women when the very nature of his platform is to encourage healthy, and he's even specific, healthy Black relationships, Black men and Black women, which is something that I do not agree with. I think you can be with whoever you want. He specifically encourages Black-to-Black relationships. But that's misogyny. That's offensive. That's politically incorrect. To go, "Hey, ladies and men work on, you know, your job, getting a career, building some status, getting some money, so you're not broke and trying to find a woman who makes more money than you and provides for you. And hey, women, work on yourself, work on your body, work on your personality, work on making good choices when you date men, work on picking the right man to have a child with and maybe not doing that multiple times." And then guess what? Bang, boom, everything works out and you lead a long and happy life. But now that's an offensive thing to say. It blows my mind.
Yeah, it's just amazing that helping people have self-awareness is offensive. You know, like our culture these days, if you go on TikTok, it's all about what this, you talked about it yesterday on the show, the body positivity movement. Mm-hmm. It's every man should be lucky to have you, even if you're 400 pounds and have five kids out of wedlock and all this, and you don't need to change anything about yourself or lower your expectations at all. It's just, you know, you are, girl, you're that queen, and men should just want you just because you're you. And like, there's a truth to, hey, you have infinite value and worth because God created you, but there's also something called self-awareness. Yeah. And it's okay to have that. And it's okay to understand realistically what men find desirable, what objectively is just makes you a better candidate for a relationship, for as a mate. And there are certain, you know, standards do exist, and sorry, but you know, and you need to have some self-awareness where you are in relation to those. And you're not a bigot for calling that out. And like Kevin Samuelson or Kevin Samuels,
yeah.
It takes courage to encourage people to have self-awareness. It takes no courage to get on social media and just be like, "Yes, queen, you are so good. Everything's right, perfect about you. Men should be fawning over you just how you are." That doesn't take courage these days. It takes courage to just speak common sense, and that's what he had.
You're so right. And that's where we live right now. And when I go on TikTok and all these social media platforms, it is like just this group, this ever-growing group of women being like, if he wanted to, he would, girl, and don't settle for anybody who's not completely perfect, and he better make millions of dollars while you sit and do nothing and provide no value and eat junk food and are not educated and you're not funny and you're not this, but Prince Charming is out there and you just need to wait for him and he's going to be there, and don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for a man who's not going to do absolutely every single thing that you ask. He should be a slave to you. It's just crazy. And then you have TikTok couples and Instagram couples and YouTube couples who put on this fake persona, and it is fake. When the camera comes on, the smiles come on, and suddenly the husband is just like doting and super feminine and does everything that the woman wants, and it gets millions and millions of views and shares and creates exactly what Hollywood created with these romance films that are clearly fictional. But now we have these semi-fictional depictions of these uber romantic falsified relationships and depictions of love that young women, and actually women of all ages, are falling for. And then they're taking themselves out of the dating marketplace, essentially, with the way they treat other people, and it's just becoming this hookup culture of nothingness and no meaning. And then you're like, oh, that, but that's so empowering, though. Sleeping with 100 guys is so empowering because, you know, because I didn't keep them. It's I didn't keep them. Not they didn't keep you. I didn't keep them, you know? I got what I wanted from them, so the women say, and then I moved on. Come on. Come on now. We can be honest. We can be honest with ourselves. And Kevin Samuels was honest, and he has very bad takes, some very bad takes, and they're on Twitter. I would show you some of his videos that I think are more entertaining and funny, but they are not language, you know, not real good language for this. So look him up if you haven't heard about him. I was a follower of him. I like the things he has to say, not everything, but I can appreciate when somebody is honest and somebody is blunt in this society where it feels like everything is full of lies and encouragement of these lies and encouragement of really unhealthy ways of leading our lives. But what's interesting is like things like this are getting tweeted out over Kevin Samuels' death. Like, this is my reaction to Kevin Samuels' death. This girl, yeah. So hilarious, so funny. And it is contingent upon nothing more than I disagree with what he has to say. That's all it is. The same thing with Rush Limbaugh, the same thing with Breitbart. And it's so crazy to me that we don't view people with nuance anymore. We don't view them as just well-rounded, full beings that have so much more to contribute than the videos that we see of them on the internet. And because we disagree with them, we are happy when they die. Like, what did he ever do to you other than you came across a video that you don't have to watch and you saw his ideas? Like, come on. And his ideas are, and his opinions are given to people who call him for the opinion. So he created a market for his own ideas, and people who knew who he was and willingly called him said, hey, can you help me out with this? And guess what he did? He gave women a dose of realness. And you have these women who call, oh my gosh. These women who call, and he's like, okay, first question. Be totally honest with me, like, what is your rating of yourself? I don't believe in this whole rating system of people, but you can get a generalized view. And every single woman, 10. I'm a 10. Looks-wise, intellect-wise, job-wise. I got 6 kids with 6 different men, but I'm a 10. And he's like, don't lie. He just looks at them as like, do not lie to me. He's like, I'm going to ask you again. You come back to me with a proper rating, and then we're going to talk about the issues. I'm a 10. Oh, I'm a 10. And we all have these inflated views of ourselves, I'm sure. Everybody has an ego. But the ego on some of the people who call is just so much evidence to where we stand right now in this era of self-love. Hashtag self-love. Which I'm all for the pretty word that self-love is, because we all know the pretty words come first and the horrible ideas come second. So self-love is this beautiful, wonderful idea, but not when it's coupled with this egotistical, narcissistic view that everything is always meant to go your way, and that the way that you were born and the way that you've grown up is exactly who you need to be, and there's no ideal, there's nothing you need to push for, there's nothing about you that you need to ever make better or ever need to work towards. And that is self-love. That is self-affirmation these days.
Yeah, and in a day where you can identify as a deer or a fairy or whatever and be I want to be referred to as toy self. Yeah. And society is expected to just affirm that and to use whatever pronouns you want and affirm whatever it is that you identify as. There's no tether to objective reality and objective truth these days. And yep. Because why? The truth, reality, biology, apparently, is offensive now. Mm-hmm. Objective truth that's just out there. Oh, but if it doesn't line up with this fantasy world that they paint for us on social media, and that's the mainstream narrative about gender, about sexuality, about what men's expectations or view should be, or that men should just be fawning over you for because you were born and mm-hmm. you exist. You know, there's not. Whenever someone calls you back, down to earth from your inflated self view or lack of self awareness, they're yep. the offensive one. And God forbid anyone just say objective facts, like exactly. biology, like there's two sexes. That's exactly. now offensive.
Exactly. Everything is gonna be offensive to say the grass is green in like 10 years. I swear, that's yeah. what it feels like. How dare you assume? How dare you assume? They have feelings too. That's what we're going to be at.
There are colorblind people out there, Amma. Right, don't assume.
Right. It's brown to them.
Yeah.
Everything is brown to them. It's brown and grays. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that feels like where we're going. So that's my thoughts on Kevin Samuels. And if you didn't know who he was before, look him up and see what you think about him. Again, very crass, sometimes very dark, but that's what I enjoy watching and what I find to be really interesting. Before we cut off on PragerU YouTube, I wanted to react to this clip of Sunny Hostin from The View. While it's, offensive to say truth and to be blunt with tough love, what is less offensive, apparently, is to just say that Black Republicans are an oxymoron and a contradiction to themselves. And here's what she has to say to justify that belief. Let's see if she even does justify that belief.
Chris Cuomo, I know this may be a novel point, a novel idea for somebody who's, a supporter of Trump, but there are people who are capable of being related and not having ethical interests.
There's many things that I don't stand by that Trump mm-hmm. did. Trump has done things that are racist. I'm a Black woman first, so always understand that.
Hate that idea, first of all. No, you're not. You're whoever you are as an individual first, and that has nothing to do.
But I do say that I have many conservative values that I will talk to you about. And so if you look at your network you're
Republican?
Standing behind, yes. And when you look at your network that you're standing behind, you're saying that you look at Chris Cuomo.
I feel like that's an oxymoron, a Black Republican.
You feel like it's an oxymoron?
I do.
Why? Your friend right here is a Republican.
We had this conversation many times.
You do. And you say you feel like it's an oxymoron that you're Catholic, but you also are pro-life.
I don't understand either.
No, you don't understand yourself then. You have disagreements.
I understand myself. I don't understand either of
this. But it's not a personal conversation.
Yeah.
We're going...
Don't like it. Don't like it. Imagine just looking at somebody and being like, oh, you're Black and you think this? What a contradiction. Because your Blackness means that you should think this, this, and that. I have it written here on a list for you because that's the list that I got when I was born as a Black woman in America. And that's just now what I believe. And because you don't do that, you're an oxymoron. You're a contradiction to yourself. Unbelievable. And this is where we are at. People look at people like me, like Anna Navarro, like all these others on these shows who talk about having differing opinions from the mainstream, and they go, it's not possible that you exist. You must be a traitor to your race. You must be a coon. You must be an Uncle Tom, because you decided that the little box that we gave to you when you were born of what you were supposed to believe in, you decided to step out of that box. Is that not the most racist thing you've ever heard in your life? The most racist thing ever is to look at somebody and go, oh, what's your skin tone? Oh, well, it's not white, which means you stand right here. And if you step outside of this, you're an oxymoron, you're a contradiction to yourself, and you're no longer a part of this group that you were born into. And I can't wait for the time that we as a society just adopt the fact that race is simply a social construct and speaks to nothing about what you actually believe, what you feel, what your moral value is, and what your individual characteristics are. Because when we get there, it's going to be really beautiful. But now we live in this divisive country where I am supposed to subscribe to a set of beliefs simply because of the way that I look. So you know what? Maybe America is systemically racist, because it feels systemically racist to look at me, to look at these women on this show and go, well, you better believe this, this, and that, or you are a traitor to your race, and you no longer have your Black card, or your Hispanic card, or your Latinx card, as they would call it now. Unbelievable that you these ideas are just so prevalent that we have TV show hosts on, you know, nation renowned, I don't know why this is nationally renowned, but saying these things.
Yeah, and what who was it recently that was like, we need fewer people. We need people that have black skin to be black voices. Or
yeah, MSNBC
like that.
Yeah. On MSNBC. I forget what her name is, but she's a black host on MSNBC. We need more black faces with black voices because right now we have a lot of black faces with white voices.
And it's like who makes you the arbiter of what an entire race of people, what they're allowed to think? Like, it's racist for you to try to impose that on everyone and deprive people of being able to think for themselves and condemning them for that. It's the opposite of what is progressive.
Yeah. And this has been the what I've been subjected to ever since, saying, you know what, I don't agree with this and that on your side of things anymore, whereas I used to before. Immediately it was like a lion pouncing on you, saying, well, you're just not black anymore. Ah, you're not black. And I think it really comes out of fear too, of just losing the grip on the narrative that you've had your entire life, that you've subscribed yourself to. And I had that fear as well, that when I started listening to conservative views and hearing that, oh my gosh, I don't have to believe these things because I'm black. That's too scary. It's too scary. Listen, there's no way. There's no way. I dedicated all these years to believing this and to fighting it and to teaching other people about it and to expressing it. There's no way that it's not true because it's been hammered into my brain. How could it possibly not be true? And nobody ever wants to make that realization. And they certainly do not want to have to then say, hey, guys, I was really wrong about what I told you the other day. I take it back. I've gotten some new information. Nobody wants to say I was wrong, and nobody wants to say I don't know. And certainly none of these women on The View ever want to say that from virtually any side of the political spectrum. But this is disgraceful. And I think she's catching quite a bit of heat on the internet for this, as she should. And sometimes, again, the left loves tough love. They love to scream at you and tell you how they see it. So now it's going to be vice versa. She's getting a little bit of tough love for the thing that she said here. And maybe, although I doubt it, she will see just the massive amount of black, Hispanic, Asian conservatives who are going to start telling her, hey, I exist. And it's not oxymoronic to exist because, in fact, your political views have nothing to do with your skin color. How you view this world, how you view traditionalism versus progressivism, how you view the issues that our country is facing and how to solve them is a very different thing from your race. There is nothing attached to that. And if she really cared, and if she really cared about what was better for this country, she would look into whether or not the progressive policies, politicians, the people that she supports are actually helping people of color in this country. Because they're not. And when she learns that, maybe she'll have to walk it back and go, wait a second, it doesn't mean, you know, race has nothing to do with where you lie politically. And maybe I should rethink that. Highly doubt she'll ever do that. Because people are subservient to their ideologies, attached to it, and that's all they do is toe the line of them now. But maybe one day, Sonny Hostin.
Maybe one day, the same day that you get unbanned from TikTok and have people stop trying to issue death threats against you for speaking your mind.
Yeah, and I talked about this. I was interviewed twice to be a conservative co-host on The View, and the interview process was ridiculous. I don't know if I should even make a separate video talking about the whole interview process, the question they asked me, and how it just dragged on to never come to fruition. But I think a lot of it surrounds just the ridiculous conversations they have. Imagine clarity being brought into this conversation because there was very little present here. And their questions are just about Trumpism and January 6th and how do you view your race and that its attachment to politics. It's such a boiled down version of what anything means in this country. It's like they view people as just little checkboxes that you have to tick, little caricatures that you're supposed to fulfill. And they have this whole drama about how The View can't find a conservative host that fits their view of what a conservative is meant to be, because their view of conservative isn't conservative at all. They want some rhino who's going to still espouse their ridiculous social outlook on this world, and they won't find it. They really won't, and they'll continue to have these conversations. I feel like every single episode of The View has a viral clip that comes out of one of them saying something ludicrous.
And it's very true.
And maybe that's what they've just staked their claim on. Maybe their 8 a.m. meetings before they film this show are all about what's the controversial thing that we can slip into this episode so we get another viral clip. It certainly works in this media machine that all we need is something salacious and mind-numbing to make us entertained and keep us in our little metaverse bubbles, our future metaverse bubbles. So I wouldn't put it past them that this is all just theater anyways, and that they just want to be ridiculous. They don't want to come to conclusions on things. They don't want to have the conversations.
Yeah, we saw Joya Behar check her notes the other day to like, oh yeah, well, how was I going to connect this Dave Chappelle thing to Trump?
Right.
Okay, yeah, here's how it was. This was Trump's fault because of the rhetoric that he was using, and that's why a crazy person rushed the stage to try to attack Dave Chappelle. We covered that earlier this week, so yep. It's true. I guess it's working on us. Maybe we're suckers. I don't know, but there's definitely something more here though, because the way that she's reducing people like you to your skin color and saying you must think a certain way and yep. categorizing it is this, and the way she reduced the whole Dave Chappelle controversy to this Trumpian narrative that she wanted to push, yeah. that it's his fault. It is a sort of way that the mainstream narrative and the mainstream left sort of thinks. And so dissecting stuff like this, I think, does speak to what they're doing on a larger level.
It does, yeah. And what she says is not, we don't react to it because it's Sunny Hostin from The View saying it. We react to it because it's an idea that many people hold. You heard the audience laugh as she said, well, I understand myself. I don't understand you. And the whole audience laughs, which this will come back full circle in a couple of years when she realizes she's wrong, hopefully. And we'll have this audience laughing clip as Sunny Hostin admits she's wrong. It's just like this endless cycle of things. We watched as Dennis went on Bill Maher in 2019 and told Bill, said the progressive left thinks that men can menstruate. And you're going to be a bigot if you say that they can't. You're going to be a bigot if you say that they can't get pregnant. You're going to be a bigot if you say that they're not women. And Bill Maher and all of his panelists go, ha, 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 ha. Dennis, you are insane. I've never heard that before. And the whole audience in this dystopian, disgusting, just display of ignorance just starts laughing and going, oh, what a stupid old white man. And let's clap for Bill Maher and his panelists who know everything. And what do we find now? It's been, what, 2.5 years, 3 years since that clip? And men can menstruate, right? And if you don't say that, you're a transphobe. And you get death threats. And you get your videos taken off the internet after 11 minutes. That's what we're facing now. So God forbid you say something like that. And we are going to have endless media clips from this time in this day and age to look back on years from now, whether or not we squash this or we don't, that are just going to be blowing our minds. And so many people are putting out predictions and warnings, as Yuri Bezmenov, that KGB defector that I reacted to a long time, that red-pilled me a long time ago, his warning, which was given out in the 80s, the 1980s. We're just going to have thousands of those. So we'll see what happens here. With that, I'm going to say goodbye to our PragerU YouTube. We will be continuing to stream everywhere else. But you guys can head over to my channel, Amla Benobi Unapologetic. Link is in the description as well as in the chat. So head over there and go ahead and subscribe. Because next week we're going to be just streaming on that channel. And we'll only stream to PragerU YouTube on Fridays. So next week we're going to be fully on Amala Benobi, Unapologetic, and only on PragerU on Fridays. So I will see you guys there. Please go and subscribe. Now, let's get into this article out of BuzzFeed. This is 36 people, famous people, who use pronouns other than she, her, and he, him. I wanted to preface the next article we're going to get into with these 36 famous people. I want to see if you notice that they have anything in common, maybe with the way that they look, the way that they style themselves. let's just go through and scroll through really quick. Demi Lovato, we all know her, the same girl who said that it's offensive to call extraterrestrials aliens, because that might not be the phrase that they want to be called. And it insinuates.
Who was also triggered by the dietary options available at a frozen yogurt shop and had to go on social media and rant against someone for saying they have sugar-free options in their yogurt store.
Yes, I forgot about that. Yeah,
we went there.
She did this whole rant saying, going to this yogurt shop ruined my day because I have an eating disorder and they displayed sugar-free and fat-free options. And I walked in, I saw it, and I immediately had to leave, and it ruined my entire weekend. And then she said, being famous is so hard.
Like, someone's got to stand up to this stuff. I'm just glad she's willing to, you know, right. carry that on her back, the right. whole team, and stand up for against these, you know, availability of sugar-free options.
Yeah, unbelievable. If I see a sugar-free option on my desk or anywhere in this office, I'm throwing it in the trash and I'm quitting PragerU.
It's basically violence against overweight people.
Yes, it is. Next, we have Ezra Miller. They, it, and Zay are his pronouns.
Is it Zay or Z?
Or I don't know.
Who even knows?
Z? I don't know. It's he. Those are his pronouns. But he's saying that they are they, it, and Z. I wonder if that's what they're calling him in jail, because he's been arrested a multitude of times in Hawaii. Have the police called on him 10 different times for assaulting women? So this is not a man who assaults women. This is a they, it, Z, Zay, who assaults women. So I wonder if they booked him as such.
Apparently going non-binary hasn't solved his toxic masculinity.
No, it hasn't. Patriarchy always prevails, you know. Apparently. Even when men identify as women, they still get to enter women's sports and swim and beat them, and patriarchy is going to be the best, because nobody does womanhood like men. There we go. So Ezra Miller, I don't know if you notice anything strange about his look, but there you go. Janelle Monáe, we know she's the ultra feminist. She goes by she, they. So apparently not so feminine after all. Ruby Rose, they, she. The hairstyles seem to be just very, very similar with a lot of these people. Sam Smith, they, them. Wonderful. Ben Levi Ross, they, he. Notice anything there? Elliot Page, he, they. They all have a very similar, just like gendery neutrally look to them, all of them. It's almost like they have the same genes. Bridget Lundy Payne, what's her pronouns? They, them. Amandla Stenberg, and I was a fan of Amandla. She was in Hunger Games. She played my girl Rue, and I loved that movie. Now she's a she, they.
Never seen it.
Wow. But yeah, here's more and more. Rain Dove. Any pronouns, any of them, any of them. Just a free reign there. Halsey, she, they, I don't know who that is. I don't know who half of these people are. Kehlani, she, they, all these famous people. Because we all know Hollywood adopts things first and then it just goes down. You know, politics is downstream from culture, as they say. So we have all these famous people who adopt in this ideology and push it out. And then the young girls and boys who watch them and listen to them go, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. That's so new. And I'm confused, maybe because I'm going through puberty. But no, I'm just confused because it's my gender. That's what I've been told. So now I'm going to identify with they, them, and she, her, and he, him, and all these things. And now we have neo pronouns, which fall outside of she, her, and he, him, and even they, them. And it's like Z, Zem, and demon self, and bunny self, and toy self, and all these random pronouns that are just made from nothingness. They are made from nothingness. Now, an article from Wall Street Journal, an opinion piece written by none other than Colin Wright. He's been on our show, and we did Devil's Advocate with him going over gender theory, and I went back and forth as the leftist, and he debated back with me, so you can watch that video. He wrote this article about not answering people when they ask what your pronouns are and making a cognitive and real choice not to do that, because it reinforces these ideas that they're trying to push in society. I want to read this paragraph in particular. Coercing people into publicly stating their pronouns in the name of inclusion is a Trojan horse that empowers gender ideology and expands its reach. It is the thin end of the gender activist wedge designed to normalize their worldview. Participating in pronoun rituals makes you complicit in gender ideology's regressive belief system, thereby legitimizing it. Far from an innocuous act signaling support for inclusion, it serves as an implicit endorsement of gender ideology in all of its radical tenets. And this is true. And this is something that I went back and forth on. If you watch my original video that I did on that trans TikToker Dylan Mulvaney, I said, you know what, for the sake of this video and for the sake of getting people who disagree with me to watch it, I will use the pronouns she, her. And in my second, when I revisited the topic, I said, you know what, we can't do that. You can't do that. It is inviting this as normalcy and making it reality, and it is affirming. And I know you want to be respectful to people. And even now, if a transgender person walked in here, I was at like a coffee shop and we were having a conversation and they asked me to use pronouns, I would just use their name and just say, what's your name? And use their name in the conversation. And that would be the end of it, just to get away from any form of major conflict, because it's not worth it in many of these small cases. But this is how you legitimize exactly what they're saying. And I saw a video this morning of a girl who was filling out her grammar homework and her mom's like filming her answers. And she goes like, instead of using she, her pronouns for all her grammar answers, she put they. So it's technically like grammatically incorrect. And she's like, well, I'm still gonna give it an A. I don't care what the teacher says. Taylor.
And that's what's tough, because I mean, to your point, when you did the episode on Dylan, you made an effort, and mm-hmm. this whole ideology, it's very cleverly created and contrived, because it preys upon people's desire to be kind and mm-hmm. to be nice and to be accommodating, and in so doing, it does like a Trojan horse, where okay, I'm exploiting your kindness to get you to affirm something and endorse something that you wouldn't endorse if I actually was transparent with what I'm asking you to endorse, which is basically the destruction of biology or the redefinition of language. And you know, Jordan Peterson had this quote and that came out of his experience with the Bill C-16, which was about neopronouns in Canada. And he put his foot down, but one of his maxims is tell the truth or at least don't lie. Mm-hmm. So you may not always have the language to say why I can't, you know, debunk this certain tenet of gender theory or whatever it may be, but you can at least not lie and not give in to these people, because whether they even know it or not, because I think a lot of people just think why they can't understand why you're not being nice and why aren't you making the same concession that I made. But you know, having words have their meaning is important, and acknowledging biology, which is sex is dimorphic, there is a binary of sex, mm-hmm. And divorcing gender from sex is a philosophical and linguistic tactic that it ruse, really, that is just designed to mainstream this ideology. But you know, you don't have to affirm what you know not to be true and not to be right. And so tell the truth, but if you don't have the language, at least don't lie. And I love that, just as a simple guidepost for how to deal with this.
Yeah, and you're so right when you say it's fully bent on taking advantage of people's willingness to be kind. And that's why they're teaching it to your kids, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they're trying to have these sex ed courses and talk about sexuality and gender, because kids want to be kind, they want to be accepting, and they want to know all the ways that they can do that. And here's a course to teach you all about it through this progressive lens. And now I want to get to this article before we close out here for the day, because Mother's Day is coming around the corner. And of course, we have to come out and attack mothers in some way, shape, or form, whether it's for their choice to be a mom or whether it's because they want to defend their children in the current political landscape that we're experiencing, or they're talking about what their kid is being taught in schools. So MSNBC puts out an article and the title is "How Right-Wing Extremists Weaponize the Idea of Motherhood." Imagine weaponizing the idea of motherhood. Here's an excerpt from it. Motherhood plays an especially key role in the kinds of rhetoric strategies far-right extremists use. Couldn't on the progressive left, because they're all about not being mothers. But including the kinds of utopian propaganda that calls on followers to reject modernity and embrace traditional values and roles. Who is really advocating for this utopian view of society and what it can be? It is certainly not us. We just want to preserve what has been good about society, and a lot of that is traditional values. But women aren't called upon to be entirely passive as mothers or to be relegated completely to domestic tasks. That's the first time they've ever admitted that, because for decades now, they've been accusing conservatives and traditional people of relegating women to passivity and telling them that they should only be doing domestic tasks. So suddenly, when it is an argument that's in their favor, they're going to admit that we have not been doing that. Let's read on. Rather, motherhood is used to justify women's engagement in activism and to depoliticize their actions by positioning them as acting on behalf of their children and families. Themes about the need to protect children are especially powerful in drawing women into extreme and violent action, as illustrated by the rise of conspiracy theories and propaganda that mobilize mothers around themes of child exploitation and protection. you know, if mothers don't see an actual threat to their child, guess what? They're not going to be mobilized. They're going to go and lead their lives and spend the time with their kids. When moms do get mobilized, it's because they have evidence that shows what is happening to their kids. Conservatives didn't just make up a boogeyman and go, hey, mommy, he's hiding under your kid's bed, and we need you to come out to the streets and fight this. And the mom went, I'm not going to check under the bed. I'm just going to go outside in the street and bring my sign and start fighting, and I'm going to go to the school board. No, conservatives went, like Chris Rufo, who exposed all this critical race theory and LGBTQIA plus two-spirit whatever BS that's in schools, said, hey, guys, I just want to let you know that this exists, and I've been reading about it, and here's documents that substantiate the claims that I'm making, and you should check your kids' curriculum. And moms went, sounds a little weird. Let me check my kids' textbook. And they went and flipped through it and went, oh, wait, they're attacking my kids with ideology. And this whole idea of violent actions, you know, the DOJ tried to come out with that whole document saying that people who show up to school board meetings are domestic terrorists. That's what they mean by violent actions. They mean mothers going up and standing in front of their school board members and saying, I don't want my kid learning this, and I will take my kid out of school. That's apparently violent, because words are violence, actions are violence, silence is violence, everything is violent in today's age. I'm amazed that we're all here and healthy and well in such a violent era that we are living in right now in America. So it's not weaponizing motherhood. If anything, you've done that yourself. You created the climate that mothers had to react to. And you've created this reactionary cycle of constantly trying to push propaganda and push your ideas onto people, and women having to respond to that, because, newsflash, women care about their kids. They care about their kids' futures, and they will spend their entire life trying to build a nation that is strong enough to make their kids successful, that is prosperous enough to make sure that they are happy and well, and that is smart enough to make sure that their kids are smart too. And that's not where we're living right now. And just because we've put a microscope to that and said, hey, look at this microscope, doesn't mean that we are weaponizing motherhood. You created the climate. You created the thing that needed to be reacted to.
Yeah, and I love the accusation that it's propaganda that's encouraging women to embrace motherhood. And rather than, you know, last time I checked, the airwaves are blanketed in the mainstream media, in Hollywood, on social media, everywhere, with propaganda in the opposite direction that tells young women that unless they grow up to be sexually promiscuous, childless, career women who are fat and, you know, take your pick of all these like woke causes that they have, unless they embrace this particular lifestyle, they'll never find happiness. That's the propaganda that's being spread. The propaganda is, if you embrace tradition and family, then you'll be an unhappy, oppressed person. And it's not if you're, you know, old and fat and childless and you sold out your soul to a career, that's what's going to lead you to unhappiness. I mean, of course, you can always say, you know, people should be free to make their choices. That's the point. It's not that one, there has to be this one or the other. But, you know, this side of the people that are writing this article is trying to cast motherhood as something that should not be chosen, that should be discouraged. And that is propaganda.
It is propaganda. It is simply that. And I just remember recognizing this and not recognizing it enough to know that it was propaganda as a kid, but in middle school and high school, all these things that you would see on the internet and in YouTube videos are like, you don't want to be the mom. You want to be the aunt that is constantly traveling and doing whatever she wants and is full of self-love and is constantly doing things for yourself, because why do something for other people? And I remember that being a constant thing that young girls that I was in school with said, I just want to be an aunt. I just want to be the crazy kooky aunt who gets to do whatever she wants, and I will never have to take care of somebody else. And now that's just commonplace. And couple that with, you're the crazy aunt who makes money selling her naked body on the internet. That's what it is now. It's just going to get worse and worse and more extreme and more extreme. And I wanted to close out on this little beautiful Mother's Day. I think this is actually written by a man, but here's this article on today.com. I wanted my son to reject masculine stereotypes. Then he fell in love with tractors.
What? The horror.
The horror. My son loves tractors. Oh my gosh. This is just funny. That's all I'm going to say.
It says, all my life I've prided myself on blurring gender lines.
So you admit that there are gender lines. You've just taken the choice of blurring them so that your kid's confused.
And despite your active efforts to suppress what comes to him naturally, which is playing with trucks and toys, it's still come up.
It still comes up. And yeah, that's the argument that we'll make. I'm going to eventually. So we have an unapologetic special coming out that's coming out on Sunday. So you guys better be around on Sunday. I know you guys will be with your families doing things. Do that first. I'm going to be second. But we're putting out a special about whether or not you should allow your kids to transition. Obviously, you know my take on that. You know it's going to be absolutely not. But giving you guys the armoring you guys with the information to defend that view and to talk about all the different studies that have been done in regard to it. And that'll be up on Sunday. So I hope you guys are there to watch, like, share. Please subscribe to get notified when that does go up and click that, you know, little notification bell. But that seems to be what it is. There are gender lines. They are very distinct. And they've been here for the whole of human existence. But now we have a group of people who goes, oh, I see the gender lines. I just want to blur them. And even when you try to, it doesn't work, which is with like the gender pay gap that everybody talks about. And that has been debunked time and time again. People point to the Nordic countries and go, look, look, look. And guess what? The Nordic countries went, yeah, we're all for equality. We're very pro-feminism. In fact, some of the most feminist countries on this earth, on this planet. And the gender gap, because of female and male choices, still exists, because women still choose to go to jobs like teaching and nursing that involve caretaking, and men tend to go for jobs that go for status and value numbers over people and objects over people in the jobs that they do, and they make more money, and they work harder, and they work longer hours than women do, and that's just natural. It's how it happens. So you can try, and that's the silver lining to all of this. You can try with all your might and try to control everything and blur all the lines and tell everybody that white is black and good is bad and up is down and left is right. You can do that all day long until the cows come home. But so long as we have platforms and ways of contradicting that information and giving our own opinions back to it, people are going to realize it. And even if we don't have ways to do that, biologically, people are going to realize it. And it's when nurture overcomes nature that we really should be concerned. So this headline, as ridiculous as it is a silver lining for you guys to look at today. Thank you so much for watching. We're happy to have you on. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And cherish, celebrate your mother this weekend. Get her a nice gift. Tell her how much you love her. Tell her that you are glad that she had you and she brought you into the world. That is what I will be telling my mother this weekend. I hope you do the same. And then after you're done with that, watch my new unapologetic special. That'll be up on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, anywhere where you can watch or see my face. And if you want to listen to this episode or any other episodes that we did this week, we had Savannah Hernandez on yesterday for a very fun female hour. So you can check those out on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify if you'd rather listen than watch. So we'll see you there. I will see you guys on Monday for a fresh podcast. We'll have something new to talk about. Bye.